I'm going to try very hard not to say any drush. Try to. I have your Haggadah. I picked up this year. Okay, this is the only Haggadah that I bought this year. Okay, by Rav Osher Guzman. I remember, I told you, I mentioned this yesterday. I remember this name, father and son, from many, many years ago. There was a set of svarim, a series of svarim by a Guzman that was this person's father. And it was all very pshat oriented. And then one day I noticed a sefer that looks very similar to what I was familiar with a different name. Osher Guzman, and it was like the same type of style. And then I realized very quickly that this was his son. I haven't seen these names in many, many years, and all of a sudden I walk into the Bigelizer and I see this on the table, Osher Guzman, and it says here, Hagodas Hamilim, a Hagod of words, something along those lines, and he put out, it's Tavshin Pei Dalet, beautiful Haggadah. I didn't get a chance to go through the whole Haggadah. Obviously, I can't do that. But I want to share with you some ideas that he presents in his Haggadah. And in essence, what we're trying to do over here is to make a dictionary out of the Haggadah. The Haggadah has a very unique collection of words. Words. Some of the words don't appear anywhere else. When you study the word and really understand what the word means, it opens up worlds in appreciating what's happening in the Haggadah. Now, we have a tradition. Okay, I didn't count the words. Mayor, you know, you see Mayor sometimes he's very busy there. He's counting the words. Lama nikru talmidei chachamim soifrim. They count their counters. There's a tradition that there are exactly 1,820 words in the Haggadah. Anyone want to do it? Try to see, to figure that out. 1,820 words. How many times does Hashem's name appear in Tanakh? 1,820. How many words are there in the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah? 1,820. How many words are there in conversation between Yaakov and his four wives in Chumash? 1,820. Is that really true? Or maybe between the brothers, Shvatim. I may between the Shvatim. I have a whole list. I really have a whole list over here. You want me to tell you the list? I used to have a lot of fun with this. I haven't really done much of this in a long time, but I still have it. My number. I have a database. I have quite a collection over here of numbers. Every time I have a number, I used to write down the number, and certainly I have over here.
Competing with Lentius?
No, Lentius does the psukim. I'm no competition for anyone. Don't worry. I'm not backing anyone. Yeah, we have a lot. Wow, 1,820 Hashem's name. How many times Hashem's name appears in Tanakh? The pasuk 1,820 in the Torah. Start at the beginning of the Torah, and when you get, count the psukim. And when you get to pasuk 1,820, what's the pasuk? HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. Isn't that amazing? Pasuk 1,000, is it really true? Does that make sense? Are there so many psukim? Pasuk 1,820 is the pasuk HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem Rosh Chodashim. Milois SheYaakov Rachel VeLea Dibru B'Torah. The number of words of conversation between Yaakov and Rachel. Remember in Parshas Vayetze, he took them out to the fields and he had a long conversation with them. All of the words of conversation between Yaakov and Leah add up to 1,820. Rachel and Leah, both of them. Okay, there are a lot of things. What happened over here? There's a lot of this. Someone once showed me a whole write-up on this. The number 1,820. Chazal were very into this number. The Haggadah we said over here, we says Shiesha with also the number of words with the Shiftei Ka, Yaakov's children, conversed between themselves in the Torah. Count all the words where there's a conversation between the children of Yaakov to each other. It's 1,820. Who figured these things out? Don't ask me. But that's what the tradition is. So you got it. But Well, I don't know, you can't sound, I say that, but there are some geniuses out, Lenches, there are certain people that are mathematical geniuses, and it's like this stuff, type of stuff just comes to them in a second. But in any event, the Haggadah has exactly 1,820 words. You know what that means for our purposes? Everything is with incredible precision. Incredible precision, every word is calculated, and every word is... Oh, so that's the question. There are a lot of girsois. Okay, there. It says over here in my notes, I don't know. In my notes it says it starts with Holach Ma'anya, that's where it starts, and I just keep on counting and see where you end up. And very likely it's not going to end off at a nice paragraph, and you're going to have to go take out, the Masifta did a phenomenal job. They have a whole section, girsois. The best I've ever seen. I don't think I saw anyone else do this. Yeah, they put ready the third, fourth edition. Thick Haggadah. Unbelievable Haggadah. Beautiful Haggadah. And they have their sections, and they have a whole section of girsois. They collected every Haggadah they can possibly find all over the world, and they've gone through a fine comb, and they show you all of the possible girsois. And I guess when you're going to find a Haggadah that has more than 1,820, you have to go figure out, there are different girsois, and make it work out. It is what it is. This is the tradition. It's approximately 1,820 words, and that tells us, for our purposes, that there is incredible detailed precision, not to make light of it, and every single word is precise. Now there are a lot of words. Like I told you, I didn't go through the whole sefer, not even a fraction of it. There are certain things that I selected to focus on, and let's begin with one thing at a time. Okay, let's start with the word. We'll just select certain things. First thing is, we'll start with the word holach ma'anya. La ho, there are two girsois actually. Is it ki holach ma'anya or holach ma'anya? Very likely you can find in your table that this word, there's some haggadahs that begin with the word ki ho lach ma'anya, and there are some haggadahs that have ho lach ma'anya. So what's this ho? This or the other gear saw like this. What does it revolve around? He says over here an incredible idea. Chazal tell us that it says in the pasuk the Klal Yisrael ate man for 40 years. Chazal make a calculation and they say it's not correct. They ate man only for 39 years and 11 months. It's imprecise. Gemara, I think it's a Gemara, and the Gemara answers. The matzah, the ugois matzois, shehitziyu mimitzrayim, to'amu bohem ta'am mon. The matzois that the Jewish people took out of Egypt had the taste of mon. The matzois, you hear it better now? It's okay now? The matzois that Klal Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim had the taste of mon. The pasuk says, it's a Gemara. The Gemara said,
the taste of whatever you wanted it to be.
Whatever that means. That's a different, whatever it means. There is something called divine bread that we have consumed for 40 years in the desert, which is called mon. We all know that. And the pasuk tells us that we ate the mon for 40 years. Problem. The Gemara asks the question. Let's make a calculation. The Gemara makes a precise calculation and says it's not so. We only had man for 39 years and 11 months. But that's only one day.
Okay.
It could very well be. There could be many answers, but the Gemara asked this question. They ate one day for a month. Right.
And the same day the mon came down.
So the mon came down not when they left Mitzrayim.
Pesach Sheni
is when the mon began descended.
Month,
okay.
Which is a month later,
right? So the mon began on Pesach Sheni.
That was the only day where they ate matzah.
Both matzah and mon together. Matzah, the mon began to fall on Pesach Sheni. If the mon began to fall on Pesach Sheni, according to the calculation, it's only 11 months and 39 years and 11 months. The Gemara answers the question with an incredible yisaid. The mon, that the Jewish people, the matzah that they baked with their own hands, which they took out of Egypt, had within this physical bread, it's an incredible chiddush, it was a hybrid. It was matzah with the flavor of mon. It'd be a good business. Mary, you want to go into business with me? Mon flavored matzah. Mun matzah. Have a new name. We have a trademark. Munmatzah.com. Buy the domain name today, right now. It'll be one day worth billions. Okay? Munmatzah.com. It had the time of mon. And amazing. It's amazing. So now, when we read, you know what that reveals to us? That there are really two types of matzah. There's matzah, ordinary matzah, and there is mon matzah. And that also, that opens up a whole world of commentary as, we mentioned matzah twice in the Haggadah, one in Aramaic, in the beginning of the Haggadah, in our invitation to the poor people, ha lachma anya, this poor man's bread, di acholu avosona ba'ara de Mitzrayim, which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. And then we go on to invite all of the guests. Wait a minute. But then later in the Haggadah, what do we say? Matzah zu sha'anu oichlim al shuma al shum shli hispik b'tzeikam b'mitzra b'tzeikam lahachmitz at shehigle aleihem melech malchei amlochim hakadosh baruch hu ugi olam. So why do we eat matzah? Both reasons. There's a lot of Torah on this. Matzah on the one hand represents poor man's bread. We were slaves. And during the 210 years when we were in Egypt, so part of that time, Avodas Perach, they served us crackers because it's cheap and it does not digest very quickly. So it's good. It's the ideal food to serve to slaves. And then there was another matzah that we ate. When we left Egypt, they drove us out and we were in the middle of baking bread and we did not have time to allow the dough to rise. And the Egyptians said, get out now. There's no time to let the dough rise. Leave now. We had no choice but to quickly throw the bread into the oven and it came out matzah and we did not have regular bread. Two different types of matzah. Okay, so we eat matzah. So some will tell you, look, in a standard Haggadah, off the shelf, basic boilerplate Haggadah, ha'lachma anya di'acholu avosana bi'ar dimitram is referring to a zecher for the matzah yachatz, the middle piece of bread. You make into a little piece of matzah, the zecher for the slavery. We were slaves. And when we get later to the Haggadah, and we do have seba, and we eat the matzah, the big piece of matzah, you have the middle the yachatz, and then you have the sholem. Oh, the shom asherikid, the shonu b'mitzvayis v'tzivanu al achilas matzah. Okay, you can darshan however you want. You can make it work however you want. There's another matzah. The matzah shlehispiku b'tzeikam lahachmitz at shehigle aleihem melech malchei amlochim hakodesh baruch hu. One thing is for sure now. The matzah shehigle aleihem melech malchei amlochim ugo'olam had the flavor of man. When you say matzah zu sha'anu oichlim al shuma, that matzah, sha'anu oichlim, there it says matzah zu. Here it says ha. Again, this is a dictionary. We're doing now a dictionary. Here you say ha lachma anya, or ki ha lachma anya, versus matzah zu, or some say zo. Matzah zo, be grammatically correct. Matzah zo. What's the difference between the word zo and the word ho? Well, one is Aramaic, of course. But
it's a lechem. Lechem is a zachar. And matzah is nekeva. It's matzah is zo. Lechem, ze.
It's feminine.
Lechem, ze.
Okay, so there are many different angles. Many lechem versus matzah. But the point over here is that we really don't have the real matzah of Shehigle Aleihem Melech Malchei Amlochim. It's only make-believe because it does not have the flavor of the man. We don't have matzah today that has the flavor of man. But the matzah that we have is the slave bread, that's exactly the same. It tastes exactly, if you would go back in the time machine and taste the matzah that our ancestors ate when they were slaves in Egypt and they were served stale bread, broken piece of stale bread, in order to be productive, it's no different than what's on your Seder table because there's no flavor. But the matzah of She'onu Oichlem Al Shulma, that is symbolic, Al Shum Shle Hispik B'Tzekem Lahachnitz, we are trying to relive the experience of matzah that has the flavor of mon. So it's not the real thing. So therefore, he's saying over here like this, saying, I'm really...
This is a Gemara that says that it had the flavor of...
Yes, it. Yes. Farish Gemara. Therefore, he's saying over here is, he likes the word keho. The whole over here is exactly like this. I'm adding a little bit more to what it says over here, but he's saying, I'm adding a lot actually to what he's saying over here, but because I don't want to hold him guilty for nonsense. But when it comes to holach ma'anya, okay, it's in Aramaic. So let's make believe for the moment now that the gear so we're going to work with is keho, with a chaf, chaf hadimyayin. So why then don't we say ke matzah zu, zo ke matzah zo? Be consistent. Why don't we say when it comes to matzah ke matzah zo sha'anu oich sha'? Pesach matzo mar. Matzo kizoy. Matzo like this. Sha'anu oichlim. Why isn't there a chof hadimyon? I'm thinking through the grammar. Why isn't there a chof hadimyon by the matzo zo? And you have to work out the grammar. The same way there's a chof hadimyon by you know why? Because it's not exactly the same. This matzah of the lachma anya, which is slave bread, it's exactly the same. There's no taste. But the matzah that we eat, lezecher, shleihispik avos, bitsekem shavosenu lahachmitz, the gilui shechina, it's not the same. It's not the same. It's just make believe. It's a dimyoin. It's a dimyoin. It's symbolic, but it's not with the chof hadimyon. The chof hadimyon is creating an equivalency. That is exactly the same thing. Nothing has changed. It's the same flavor, the same taste, because it does not have the tam of the mon. But when we come to be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa of achilas matzah, to remember not the slave bread, but to remember the gilui shechina, that was a different type of matzah. It may very well be that the ingredients was water and flour, but it had the flavor of the mon. And therefore, what we eat on the night of the Seder will never, it doesn't have that. So it's a dogma. It's a dogma to remember. At least this Vorta brings out there's a difference in keho, there's a chof hadimyon in many haggadahs. Not all, but there's no chof hadimyon when you're dealing with the matzah in the middle of the Seder, when you say matzah zu, because indeed that matzah is coming to symbolize the matzah which we ate when during the journey of the gilui shechina, and that had the flavor of man. Okay, let's go to another word. Okay, we're going to skip around and focus on very specific words. Okay, let's go to, I did this yesterday, but I'll lead into the Arba Banim. Okay, I'm turning the page over here. Randomly, the Arba Banim, we have four Banim. We have the Chacham, the Rasha, the Tam, and the She'eno Yodea Lishol. What is a Chacham? Very simple. Ezeu Chacham, Haroyes HaNoilad. What is Haloimed Mikol Adam? It's good, the dictionary, the dictionary of the Haggadah. The Haggadah, the Seder, is a learning experience. The Chacham is sitting around the Pesach Seder. He's there to hear what everyone has to say. Okay, Ezeo Chacham. The Chacham is going to learn from the Rasha. The Chacham is going to learn from the Tam. The Chacham is going to learn from his father. You bring to the Pesach Seder the Chacham because he is Haloymed Mikol Adam. And what is he learning? He's learning Mikol Adam to be Roye Es Hanoila. Take those two different, Chazal tell us two qualities about a Chacham. Number one, a Chacham, Ezeo Chacham HaRoye Es Hanoilat. He's able to take the lessons of what he learned here in the Seder to apply it going forward to the Gula HaSida. And he does that through looking around at the table and learning from every single person present. Okay, what is the Tam? We learned this yesterday. What is the Tam? The Tam is a person, Yosha. The Tam is a very glatta person. He doesn't know from tricks. We spent time yesterday. The Rasha is not an evil person. Ra is evil. Rasha is just the person that stands in contrast to the Tam. Let me quote you the pasuk here. I have you the pasuk over here. Very interesting pasuk which explains this point. To appreciate who is, what is exactly the precise meaning of the Rasha. It says in the pasuk in Eoif, Achas hi al kena marti tom virosha hu michale. Okay, in this pasuk, hu michale, I'm not sure what this means. We have to go back and read the whole pasuk, but in this pasuk, the mechaber of this sefer, the gra, what he's telling over everything is a likut. The rasha is hipuchoi shel hatam. Zeh shoholich bitmimus, gefi amuva bepasuk, this is the gra, tom virasha hu michale. Okay, what that means, but in this pasuk, the very fact of the pasuk contrasts the tam and the rasha indicates the rasha is in essence is not evil. The rasha is just a conniver. A tam is glat. A rasha, you're always looking to beat the system. Like I gave you an example yesterday with taxes. You go in order or you go backwards. Okay? You go to jail or you go home free. Yellow light. The tam, a yellow light means slow down. The rasha, he knows the whole picture. The reason why it's yellow is because it's soon going to be red and then you're going to be stuck. So therefore, in my mind, the yellow means speed up. That's the malchus of a rasha. Not an evil person. Someone who is because it happens to be many times people who know too much and are too smart and they outsmart themselves, they take advantage and they become evil. And that's why the word rasha is usually associated with evil. But where does it start? It starts from knowing too much and not following the rules and outsmarting yourself, and that leads into becoming a practitioner of evil. That's
just start as a
it was a conniver. That's why you bring him to the Seder. You try to straighten him out. Ramachol, what do you want to say?
I mean, he's just as smart as the Chacham, but he uses it
in a connivering way.
In a negative.
But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's evil. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's evil. Yeah. Okay, now this is very interesting. What is the She'eino Yodea Lishol? What is it? This is the dictionary of the Haggadah. So most of us, always assume it's one term. The words are glued together. There are no commas. There are no psiks. It's just one term, three words. We go, a child who doesn't know, he doesn't have the curiosity. He doesn't know, or maybe worse, he doesn't have the wisdom. He doesn't have in his mind, unfortunately, the kalim, the intelligence.
Formulate the question.
You're saying something different. Something is bothering him. You're saying a lot of things. Eino yodea, pashut pshat means he doesn't even have the intelligence, Rachmana Litzlan, to notice there's something that's out of order to ask. You're saying something different. You're saying he has the intelligence to note something is not right, but he doesn't have the sophistication to articulate,
yes,
to express himself. Is that what it means? He understands there's a very big problem over here. Something is not right, but he doesn't have the sophistication, yodea, how to formulate the question. He needs a speechwriter. Okay, there are many great people in the world. Every head of state has a speechwriter. Why does he need a speechwriter? These people, if they're so brilliant, they're able to win the trust of millions of people and hold office. You don't know how to express yourself? And the answer is, that's right, I don't. It's an art. It's one thing to be a brilliant person and have great ideas, but not everyone is the greatest communicator. And some people, they don't know how to properly express themselves. They need someone you tell them your idea, and you have a speechwriter. So at Pesach Loi, every father on the night of the Seder becomes a speechwriter. Okay, that's the Pashup Shot. You can play around with it, but it's basically a term. I never knew this. This is all new to me. But there's another interpretation, and that is you're supposed to put a comma. There is she'enoi yoideya, comma. This child is a brilliant child. Make no mistake about it. His IQ is over the top. He's a she'enoi yoideya, which question to ask. You have a limited amount of time. Like they give you congressional hearings, you only have 5 minutes. She'ena yoideya, it's a little bit of a drush, a little chassidus shavart. She'ena yoideya kama. This child has a lot of questions to ask. And this child, should I ask the question of the Rasha? Mo havoida zoitz lochem? Or should I ask the question of the Chacham? I don't know which question I want to ask. I have many different types of questions that I could ask. Depends on my mood. I'm indecisive in she'ena yoideya. It's a drush. It's not really, you know, we're looking for a dictionary translation over here. It's not really she'ena yoideya, which question to ask. And when you don't know which question to ask, this is a very dangerous situation. And the Hagbalah God is telling him, at Pesach Loi in the Haggadah, what do you tell the Shnei Yedei Lishol? You tell him the same thing as the Rasha. You notice that? You tell him the same thing as the Rasha. At Pesach Loi. And what do you say? What do you say to him? At Pesach Loi, v'igat l'vincha, b'yom ochu lehm, b'avur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzei simim shem. That's the most bizarre part of the Haggadah. Why do you tell the She'enu Yodea Lishol the same exact thing that you say to the Rasha? Hake yeshina v'emer loi, you open up to the She'ena Yodea Lishol exactly what you say to the Rasha. What? The She'ena Yodea Lishol is not a Rasha. Why are you giving the She'ena Yodea Lishol the same answer as the Rasha? The answer is no. You preempt him from becoming a Rasha. In other words, the She'ena Yodea is a type of child that can go either way. You can go either way. And therefore, you got to be very careful. He's a brilliant child. He's, at this point, she'ena yoideya. Who do I want to be like? Do I want to be lishol the question of the Rasha? Or do I want to be like the one like the Chacham? And to this child, there's a psychology going on here. Preempt him, at Pesach Loi, and show him it doesn't pay to be a Rasha. He's not yet holding at being a Rasha. The Chacham already has made a decision in life. I want to be a Chacham. The Rasha has made a decision. I want to be a Rasha. And then you have the child who is the She'eno Yoideh. He's a brilliant child. Brilliant. He has not yet made a decision who he wants to be. He has not made a decision, Lishol, to ask like the Chacham or to ask like the Rasha, which in essence is saying he's holding on the boundary in his life, deciding what kind of life he wants to live. The Baal HaGadol says, chap this child, at you the parent, Pesach Lo, enter into the situation and show him, take the initiative and show him, don't be like the Rasha. Answer him like the same answer you give the Rasha, to preempt him, to cut off that option. It's not kedai to be a Rasha. It's a lot of psychology, because that means don't try to tell him like the Chacham. Okay, this is the case. It's a raw idea which needs a lot of analysis. Talk to a psychologist, see what he says about this, and see his response to dealing with, you know, all different techniques and dealing with children who are you know, at risk. In other words, this idea is basically, they invented this ugly term today called children at risk. The She'ena Yodea, basically, according to this ancient Vart, is a child at risk. He can go either way. He doesn't know which question he wants to ask. And what would you say today? You would think, oh, such a child, what do you do with him? You chap him and you go and you show him the good life. You take him to the Beis Medrash and you take him on trips and you love him and you show him the beauty and the majesty of Torah. That's pretty much what's going to tell you to do in all of the magazine articles about children at risk. The Baal HaGadah seems to say, if this Vart is Enes, the Baal HaGadah is telling you a very different answer. A child at risk, show him what happens to people that go down the evil path. It's not good at the end. He's receptive at this moment to understand it's not Kedai. The Rasha is the one who you have to go embrace. Well, Rasha of the Baal HaGadah is pretty tough with him. He knocked out his teeth. I'm not exactly sure. The Baal HaGadah over here is giving you a very different approach. If this Vart has a degree of MS to it, it's giving you a very different approach than what probably the common man would expect to deal with a child at risk. The common man today, a child at risk, is you have to grab him and you have to show him the beauty of Torah, the beauty of a Torah life to the Beis Medrash and mitzvahs and make everything fun and delicious. The Baal HaGadah seems to say that if you live with a child at She'ena Yodea, he does not know which question he wants to ask. Does he want to present himself as a Rasha or does he want to present himself as a Chacham? You better go and get in there and show this kid, don't be like the Rasha. Ad Pesachlo and respond to him the same way you respond to a Rasha. In other words, prevent him from becoming a Rasha by demonstrating how bad it is to be a Rasha, if I'm analyzing this correctly.
By the way, you can assume a kid that sits in the table and he has no questions. He doesn't ask any questions. Everybody asks questions. The whole Haggadah. And he doesn't ask questions. This is dangerous. Why? Because if he doesn't ask here, he'll go to the street to ask a friend or who knows who.
You have to encourage them to ask questions. You encourage them to ask questions.
Make sure that...
That here is where he asks the questions. Okay, now, and here's another. Now, this Vart is the most Hasidic Vart I ever heard. I'm gonna for the She'ena Yodea Lishon. So the most, I wouldn't say it over if I like whatever. And what is the Vart is? The term is the name of this child. Okay, we have the Chacham, and we have the Rasha, and we have the Tam. You know, you only have one name. You can have three names. Moshe Aaron Baruch. Excuse me. Here we have one name only. Don't go name a child after 10 people. You name a child after one person. Okay, so when you want to give a title, there's only one word. There's the Chacham, there's the Rasha, there's the Tam. And guess what the name of this fourth child is? The She'enoi. She'enoi. That's the name of this child. What does that mean? It means this is a child who makes himself into nothing. He makes himself into a she'enoi, which you can play with how you want, but the way over here he presents it, he says from the Spink, from, I don't know which Rebbe, from one of the Spinker Rebbes, the name of the child is the she'enoi. He is, what? So you can play with this how you want, but the way he explains it is, the child that sits at the table and you say, Nunu, Rabbi Yisai, now's your chance to ask questions. No, you have a question? So the Chacham, I got a question. The wise guy. I always understood the Chacham to be the wise guy. Chacham's not a tzaddik. He's a wise guy. A lot of wise guys out there, right? The wise guy. The Rasha, everything is no good. The Tam, Mazois, you know, very simple questions. Then you have a child. You have a question? I don't have questions. I have no questions. Really? She'enoi. She'enoi, I have no questions. You have no questions? What do you mean you have no questions? How could you have no questions? You can be certain the child that says She'enoi Yodea, She'enoi, the child that She'enoi Yodea Lishol, he has what to ask. He knows how to ask. at Pesach lo. Get it out of him. Get the questions, like really what you were saying before, but here on the Sheina, the Chassidus Shavar, this Shavar is such a Chassidus Shavar, it's going to drip, it's dripping with Chassidus all the way back to Eretz Yisrael. You're sitting by the Seder, oh, no, anyone got any questions here, Rabbi Yisai? The Chacham, the wise guy, yeah, I got all these crazy questions. I got questions. The Rasha, ooh, okay. Tam Mazois, you got a question? No. No questions. The child that says he has no questions, he has what to say. He knows what to ask. And therefore, you, the father, it's your ad-pisachle. Get it out of him. Work on him. And when he opens his mouth, boy, he'll have what to tell you. And you'll have a conversation that will be a game changer in this celebration. Shalom Aleichem, Mordechai Mintz. Welcome. Shalom Aleichem. From Lakewood, New Jersey. Okay? This is a Chassid Shavart. Okay, let's go to another idea. We're running out of time. Now, this is a very Chassid Shavart. This is what I really find is really, really a knockout Vart. It says in the Pasuk, we're learning over here, Mordechai, learning over here, Haggadah dictionary. Dictionary words in the Haggadah. The dictionary words. It says in the pasuk, what do you say to the Tam? What do you say to the Rosh? Both of them, you say the same thing to the Rosh and to the She'eino Yodea Lishol. You say, Ad Pesach Loi, Shenemar, Vihigadeta Levincha Bayomahu Leimor, Bavurze Oso Hashem Libitsesi Mimitzroi. Now all of the grammarians will jump up and say there is an extra word in this pasuk that is 100% superfluous. Lemar, shenemar, vihigad. The word hagada means you're talking, right? Isn't that the word hagada? Vihigadita levincha bayoimahu on that day. Bavurze aso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. The hakdama of the word vihigadita doesn't automatically negate any need to insert lemar. You shall speak up. Vigadata levincha bayomahu. Ba'avur zeh oso Hashem li b'tzeisi mimitzrayim. You don't need the word lemar. Study all of the other passages in Tanakh where the word Haggadah, there are many, are used. It does not follow with the word lemar. That's a different. That's Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe. So there in the Chanan,
we have a whole Pshat.
Okay, but the word Haggadah, does not demand it be followed by the word Lemar. The word Haggadah Vayidaber, obviously, that's the most famous pasuk in the Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemar. There are two perushim what it means. Maybe we'll talk about it in a second. But the word Haggadah automatically includes within it Lemar, and study all the psukim in Tanakh where the word Haggadah appear. Look by the Bikurim. Higadati Lashem Elokecha, I declare ki basi ela'aretz. There are many psukim where the word Haggadah, you have to study this, analyze this. The word Lemar is not present because that's what Haggadah is. To give over, to say, why then does it say the word Lemar in this pasuk? It appears to be totally out of place. So the simple interpretation means what is it? Vaydaver Hashem El Moshe Lemar. So there are two translations. One translation is saying, Hashem spoke to Moshe, saying, Lemar, the subject of the word Lemar in that pasuk is Hashem. Hashem said the following. Hashem engaged in communication. Dibur means communication. And these are Hashem's words. Lemar, saying. Dibur is a general term which means there was a communication, a line of communication that was opened up between Hashem and Moshe. It's like Vaidar means Hashem dialed Moshe Rabbeinu on the telephone. And then Moshe picked up the phone and Lemar, and this is what Hashem said to him. Dibur means there was a communication, and Lemar, and this is what Hashem said. That's one very popular translation. And the other very popular translation is Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Hashem actually communicated, said the words, Lamar, I want you now to go and give this over to the Jewish people. If Hashem would not say the word Lamar, it would mean this is a secret. It's just for you to know. No one else but you. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, I got a message for you and no one else. Lamar, I give you permission, and in fact, I command you to relay this information to other people. Okay, Tup. Now, if you want to take those two ideas, so you want to say let's take the second interpretation, which is one of the things that he presents here. Vayidaber is vigadta levich v'yamahu. Your duty on the night of the Pesach Seder is to give over the story of our history, our Messiah, our legacy, to such a degree that your child can now give it over to the next generation. Or that your child can now teach it to the Russia, to the Tam, and he shall help you. The Torah would just say, it just means tell him the basic concepts, but you don't have to tell him the concepts to such a degree that he should have such fluency and such depth of understanding where he in turn will be able to give it over, to give a lecture the next day to somebody else. The demand of Haggadah in the mitzvah of the Lil is to give over the story of Yitzias Mitzrayim to your children with such clarity and depth of understanding where they will have the ability to relay the information to someone else. V'gata levincha bayamohu leymar. Okay, that's a very beautiful interpretation. Dictionary words. Leymar. What does the word leymar mean in the Haggadah? Then he says an idea which is really off the charts. This is like really a crown jewel of the whole Haggadah, what he says over here. And basically, he quotes a lot of psukim to bring this out. And basically, we learned this, we spent a lot of time on this once upon a time, is Es Hashem hemircho hayoim lihiyoit slo la'am. And ato hemircho lo, I don't remember the whole pasuk exactly, the pasuk in Parashat Tzavim. The word Aleph Mem Resh means to elevate to a state, to a degree of greatness. Es Hashem.
The word Amir is like the highest point in the tree, all the way up.
All the way up.
Elevated you to the top.
Elevated you to the top.
The Gemara says that it's a reciprocal race. We say to Hashem, Emircha, and Hashem says to us, Emircha.
Right, so the Shorish Aleph Mem Resh. Now, let me give you some examples, incredible examples. There's a very difficult Pasuk. Pasuk says, let's learn the first one, a simple Pasuk. Vayoymer Hashem El Moshe. Emor. El HaKohanim B'nei Aharon. The Amarto Alehem L'Nefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav. Speak. This, how would the art scroll translate this pasuk? Hashem said to Moshe Vayomer, Hashem El Moshe, Emor, say to the priests, El HaKohanim B'nei Aharon, the Amarto Alehem, and say to them, L'Nefesh Lo Yitama Ba'amav. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that there is too much repetition in this pasuk. Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aaron, speak to the kohanim and say to them, you just said the word emor.
You are b'nei Aaron.
You just said emor el kohanim, speak to the kohanim, speak to them, and l'nefesh lo yitama ba'amav. Why does it say Emor el HaKohanim b'nei Aaron? The Amar to Alehem. Just get to the point. Amar to Alehem. Or just say Emor el HaKohanim lo yitame nefesh be'amov. Why? Emor el HaKohanim the Amar to Alehem. So there the Mefarshim explained the word Emor, the first time it says the word, despite contrary to what it says in the art scroll translation, does not necessarily mean speak. It means elevate the Kohanim. Go to the Kohanim, Sheva Levi, and explain to them, you are different. You are elite. You are special people. Raise them up. Convey to them that they are dedicated, they have been selected to serve Hashem. Hashem says to Moshe, Emor el ha-kohanim b'nei Aharon. Doesn't mean speak. Raise them. Glorify them. Uplift them by impressing upon them that they are Hashem's agents. And when they now understand who they are, then you can give them the commandments, the Amarta Aleihem, then say to them, L'nefesh lo yitam v'mav, it's not fitting that you should come in contact with the dead. The word emor does not always mean to speak. It's a play on the word over here. But the first time it says the word emor, it's just like what it says, as Rav Mordechai said, Es Hashem he'emarta hayoim. You have glorified, you have uplifted Hashem. Okay, I'll give you another example. This is an incredible example. Vayoymer Kayin el Hevel Ochiv. Vayihi b'yoysam ba'sodeh vayokom Kayin es Hevel Ochiv vayahargeyu. So similarly, how do you translate this? Kayin spoke to Hevel, his brother. And then it was, they were in the Sodeh, and Kayin rose up and he murdered Hevel. What was the conversation? Doesn't say. So you have to go look in the Mefarshim. They were fighting over, Vayomer means, oh, there was a conversation. They were fighting over a twin sister. Who gets to marry the extra twin sister? They were fighting over how they're going to divide the world. Yes. You know, the world is not big enough for two people. You get the northern hemisphere, I'll get the southern hemisphere. No. I want the whole world. There was a conversation. What was the conversation? Who knows? Go look in the Midrashim, and whatever you'll find in the Midrashim as to why Cain killed Hevel, that was the conversation. Is that the pshat? Okay, there I am Panim L'Torah, but he writes over here from the Ibn Ezra. No, not the Ibn Ezra, I'm quoting the wrong thing over here, I'm sorry. He quotes over here from Uperish the Kli Yakar, Vayomer, Kihisbarus shel Kayin al kiu toiv odef mehevel. Vayomer Kayin el Hevel. Kayin became a balgaiva. Vayomer Kayin looked at himself as being greater and elevated relative el Hevel. There's no conversation over here in this pasuk. Vayomer means he lifted himself above. I'm greater. I'm more important. This guy is a nobody. And therefore, get lost. The word Vayomer, in many of its grammatical forms, does not mean he spoke. Because when you start meaning that he said words in that form, you're in a lot of trouble because there's a lot of redundancy in many of these psukim. And in some of these psukim, there are many more examples of this, where there's redundancy. And you're missing the something that's missing, and you have to fill in too many details. But when you understand the word Vayomer, Aleph Mem Resh means elevation, and the Makar is Es Hashem He'emarta Hayoyim Liyos Lachal Elokim V'lalaches B'drachav L'shmar Chukav Mitzvasav Mitzvasav L'shmar B'kolo. And then the other part goes on, you and you have elevated Hashem. When you understand the word Aleph Mem Resh means elevation, then in many of these psukim is a whole new understanding. Emor el HaKohanim, yeah?
How do you get to the word Emor Shemin elevation?
Sorry?
How do you get there that the word Emor means elevation?
The Makor is Es Hashem in Nitzavim. Perek Devarim Pasuk Chavav Pasuk Yud Zayin. There's a long Rashi. The Pasuk says Es Hashem He'emarto hayoim lihiyois l'chol elokim. Rashi on that pasuk says, what does this word mean? He'emarto. Aleph memresh. And Rashi there, and the Targum there also, goes to town. And everyone there goes, there's a long discussion, what is that word? And Rashi goes through different periods. It means to elevate. To hold to the highest esteem.
Or just talk down.
But the raw Aleph Mem Resh we commonly translate as to speak. But it's not necessarily, maybe that's a derivative of, but Aleph Mem Resh in this Pasuk, in Parashas Nitzavim, Rashi defines, it means to uplift and hold in the highest esteem. And when we work with that interpretation, we go look at Emor El HaKohanim, raise them up. They should appreciate who they are. Now when they know who they are, now they should understand that you're not going to don't contaminate to the dead. Likewise, when it comes to Kain Hevel, Vayomer, Kayin El Hevel, which okay, it's a little bit of a stretch, but the Kli Yakar says this, he says this, and you have to appreciate the grammar. Kayin, he looked at himself to be greater than Hevel. He elevated himself to a higher esteem. And therefore, you, Hevel, get out of my way. And that's why he rose up and he killed him. Now, take that idea. This is what, take that idea. Back to our question. And this really is the crown jewel of the Haggadah. V'higadita Haggadah. Levincha bayom ahu. What do you do on the night of Pesach to your children? You tell them a story. Haggadah, right? Haggadah. No, that's not what you do. Everything that you do in the story is, you know for what purpose? Lay more. Is to elevate your children. To give them self-esteem. To impress upon them who they are. Where they come from. They are chosen. They are select. They are unique. The whole Haggadah, the Higadita, what is, tell over the story. Okay, it's a nice story, Dad. Good night. I'm going to sleep. Very nice story. I've seen better stories. Go on YouTube. There are even better stories than this. That's not the goal here. V'higadita levincha bayom ahu. What is the Haggadah? It's lemar. Raise them up. They should feel important. They should feel that self-esteem. And tell them. And what is the lame? Bavur zeh asa Hashem li b'tzeisim. This is what it's all about. Okay, so it's an incredible dictionary word for the Haggadah. Because if you're going to say that it means to speak, tell over your children that night, saying, come on! The word lemar has no place in this pasuk. Try to find another pasuk in Tanakh where the word Haggadah is used in connection with the word lemar. Vayidaber, yes. But not Haggadah. Haggadah automatically includes the concept of Amira. And thus, it demands the word Amira, Aleph Memresh, in this context means elevation. The goal of the Haggadah is to elevate, to raise up your children.
The Hebrew word Amira, I'm looking it up, is a word means the crown, the tree.
That's what Mordechai said, because that's in the Mishnayis. It's a word in the Mishnayis, it's a word in the Mishnah talking about I don't know, Trumas and Maestros, and it mentions that word Amira. Okay, let's go Dayenu. What does Dayenu mean? Now let me answer the word Dayenu. We see, unfortunately, we work backwards. Dictionary word, Dayenu. Oh, Ribbono Shel Olam, it would have been enough. Ilu Hotzianu Min Mitzrayim V'loy Osavayim Shefatim. Wow, just to leave Egypt and not to have to go, even without the miracles. Dayenu. If you would have brought us before Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu. If you've given us the Shabbos, Dayenu. So all of us get very worked up. Say, what? If you take us out of Egypt and there would be no miracles, Dayenu, we would die in a minute. We wouldn't survive a day. You take us to Har Sinai and you wouldn't give us the Torah. What? Dayenu? Dayenu? So everyone's going to, oh yeah, Achdos. There was Achdos. There was this. You're going to give all these very nice answers, right? All there are a lot of very, very good answers. There's a mile of coming to Har Sinai and not getting the Torah. Okay, you'll have, Baruch Hashem, all of your grandchildren will tell you 20 different explanations as why the godless of coming to Har Sinai without getting the Torah was kedai. Okay, so you know what? Tomorrow, we're going to go to Great Adventures. And then we're going to go home. Oh. We'll go to the parking lot. Kervanu lifnei. Great Adventures. And we're not going to go on the rides. Dayenu. Yeah, they're going to go for that. So all of the 20 answers, I can show you, I'm making an encyclopedia. Encyclopedia of all the milas, each one, even though we didn't get the other one, it would be enough. I'm sorry to tell you, the answers are delicious, okay? The answers are delicious and they're magnificent, but the question is a lot better. A lot better than any answer you will give me to any single one of these things. There's a procession. And therefore, that leads us to conclude. It leads us to conclude. Now, there's a Yartzeh Rebbe whole story. I don't know the whole story, but I'll give you an example. I'll just tell you the gist of the story. Everyone knows is a person comes to a king and he does a good deed. And the king, how can I reward you? You know what? Why don't you give me a beautiful royal pair of pants? What the kings wear. All right. Here it is. Put it on. The king, you know, there's no time in wearing the pants if they don't have a beautiful matching shirt. Okay, give him the shirt. King, your honor, have a pants and the shirt. They go out into the street. Where's your jacket? Okay, give him the jacket. I need nice shoes also, you know. And before you know it, I need to be the king also. One thing leads to another, okay? You go buy clothes, you go to the store, you buy a beautiful suit. And then they say, you need a tie. It's only $200, a nice designer tie. You know, once you have a beautiful suit, a beautiful tie, you know, you need a hat, a new hat also. What kind of shoes are you going to be wearing with this? You have the nice socks also, you have to. One thing leads to another. And that's how it goes. Therefore, eino chinami, that's exactly the whole point. Dayenu does not mean it's enough. The word dayenu means, let me turn to the page to I say it correctly. It's really the translation of the word dayenu means, is it enough? It's just the opposite. Is this really sufficient? It's not. In other words, we are goading Hashem on. Don't stop, Hashem. It's not enough. Well, you're going to only bring us to Har Sinai. V'leinosan lanu as haTorah. Is this correct? Is this where we're going to stop? We got to keep on going. Let me find the page over here. I can't find the page. Where is Dayenu? V'zroya netuya. Adash be'achav. Oh, here it is. It means Dayenu v'chi day lanu b'kach. Dayenu is not meant to be said as a calm statement. Dayenu is a bakosha. Again, dictionary words of the Haggadah.
Where is Dayenu said?
Nowhere.
Where is it said in the Haggadah? What part of it?
Later, towards the end.
Where
right before Hallel.
We're giving Shevach and Haggadah Hashem.
No.
At that point. That's what it's all.
Kamen Milos, we finishing Nish Loy Omar. Wait. Adash Bechav. No, you can learn it many different ways. But the way dictionary word.
The plain simple way is not that convoluted like we're trying to do right
now. No, that is a simple way.
No, that's convoluted. And it's each and every one would Diana would it have been enough for us to have given you all this praise and all this Hodah and all is everything, each and every one, as whatever it is. Not that I need more, not that I wanted more, nothing.
Not necessarily. The questions are so great. The questions of the process of all of these things. Ilu have you on besocha bechorav v'lo shikat sor, and you would not provide shikat sorenu, drown our enemies besocha. No, it's a rhetorical, the way we're learning in the dictionary of the Haggadah. The way we're learning, I know that's a part. We're here to say chidushim. The pshuta shel mikra in kindergarten, die. It's enough, Hashem. We don't need anything. We have everything we want. In a more sophisticated, the Haggadah is an opportunity. Is kan haben shoyel. The Haggadah, the Seder Haggadah, is not just sit back, relax, and say thank you. There is business. It's this business to be discussed. The Haggadah is a time to accomplish, to negotiate with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Okay, a lot of rebbes, a lot of it doesn't just, oh, you sit back, thank you Hashem, thank you, have a good night. This is a very critical meeting. This is like Yom Kippur. You're making a lot of heavy-duty requests. Ribbono shel Olam, you brought us this far in Jewish history, and that's it? Are you going to let Iran make a litzanis out of us? We've gone all the way from Yitzias Mitzrayim all the way to Tav Shin Pei Dalet, and we're going to stop here? The chidai lanu bekach? You can't stop in the middle. You can't stop in the middle. Well, you can take us to Har Sinai. Oh, no Torah. We're going to go tomorrow to Great Adventures. We're going to park in the parking lot. We're going to get out and look at all the rides. And then we're going to say, Dayenu, let's get back in the car and go back home. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. Why are we fools to think that it's going to work for us? That we're going to go to Har Sinai. Dayenu. Achdus. Wow.
What do we say in the next paragraph?
Alachas kamba kamba, we bring it all together.
That you did all this.
That we didn't stop in the middle. Hashem, look, you did not stop in the middle. Because you can't stop in the middle. And therefore, what is the lesson? The lesson is we're also in the middle now. Everything in the Haggadah is all a dogma for the Golas that we're in right now. In Golas, we're in a process. Hashem, don't stop now. Don't get, we can't. Just like, what if you would have taken us out of the, and you'd have not done this? Would that be enough, Hashem? It would be ridiculous just to bring us to Har Sinai and stop. And you can say the same thing everywhere. And what? And therefore, Hashem, because it would have been ridiculous to stop in the middle, you didn't, and you took us all the way to the end. What is the lesson? We're now in Golis. Hashem, what happened? Where'd you go? You got lost somewhere. You're going to stop in the middle? Where's Mashiach? You can't just stop in the middle. Who says Dayenu means Adkan, Dayenu, we're very happy. It's not all of the beautiful answers, which I'm not coming to argue with, they're very nice and they teach us a lot of very beautiful Yesoides. But guess what? It doesn't answer the question. It doesn't. The questions are too difficult, and that leads us to prove, at least on one sufficient. I'm not here to tell you to chidushim. I'm here to work you up, Dr. Dov. It's exactly what I want. It's the chi dai lanu bekach. These are the dictionary words of the Haggadah. Okay, next. Now this I like this very much, this part. Ilush in the Dayenu, running out of time. Let's see. Ilu sipek tzarchenu bamidbar arboim shana. If you would have provided our tzarchenu in the midbar arboim shana, v'lo hechilanu es hamon. Dayenu. What does it mean, providing our tzarchenu? What does that mean? What are our needs? What's the dictionary again? This dictionary, Haggadah dictionary. We're in the middle. Let me find the place over here.
What are our basic needs?
What are tzarchenu? Wait, let me find the place over here. Let me find the place.
You just
need a
word. You wanted something different.
Ilu have iranu v'soychai becharav v'lo shika tzarchenu, our enemies. Drown them, dayenu. Ilu shikat sorenu besocho velo sipek sorchenu ba midbor arbo imshan. It would not provide our needs in the desert for 40 years, dayenu. Ilu sipek sorchenu ba midbor arbo imshan velo hechilanu es hamon, dayenu. So this mon is food. And then there's tzarchenu,
which is above the basic need.
Okay, so the word tzarchenu means luxuries. Okay, dictionary words. You provided luxuries. Everyone, like a hotel. There was a tea room, 40 years straight, stocked to the hilt, with every mishigas you can imagine. Okay, however, he says over here a very powerful thing, which really shakes up the whole thing. Almost honestly, think our needs. I mean, what do you mean your needs? What needs did you have in the desert? Weapons, food. Food is the man. Clothing.
Yeah.
I mean,
your basic needs, not your wants.
Epis, there's something missing. We need to go to the Haggadah dictionary to understand the translation of the word tzarchenu.
Tzarchenu is your basic needs, and your man is your wants.
No, man is the basic needs.
No,
the mon.
The
all right. The answer is better than the question. At least if you know, I don't know if you're gonna like the answer, but I love the answer. Every day you make a bracha. What does it mean? Shoes. What does it mean?
Shoes.
Sha'asli kol tzarki, all of my needs, shoes. Many people, I don't know many, but people, there are people on Yom Kippur, they don't make the bracha. They wait until the night. There are people on Tisha B'Av who don't make the bracha. They don't make the bracha. Ramayevsky, am I correct? People don't make the bracha. Sha'asli kol tzarki. Tzarki means shoes. Shoes.
Right.
In the desert, what kind of shoes did they wear?
Tachash.
Va'analcha pasik in Yecheskel. They wore multicolored shoes. Okay, they don't wear black. They wore these exotic shoes from a creature that only existed at that time. Tachash, va'analcha tachash. That those tachash was also the covering of the Mishkan. The top covering of the Mishkan was tachash. There was something very special. There was something, Rabbi Yisai, very special about the shoes of the people in the desert. Now, the shoes. By the shoes happen to be the same. The shoes is the lowest part of the person's on your foot, and they also happen to cover the highest place of the Jewish people, which was the covering of the Mishkan. The covering of the Mishkan was covered was artachash, and the person's feet were artachash. What is the message? Like a very basic. So the Mishkan traveled how? Anan Yakovot. You didn't move. You didn't go in. The Anani HaKavod said, we're going, we pack up. And what went in front? The Levine, the Mishkan went in front. The Shechina was resting on the whole Klal Yisrael traveled with the Mishkan. The Tzorcheinu represents guidance. It doesn't mean in the Haggadah, you drowned our enemies. Now we're talking about the los. If you would not have sipek tzorcheinu ba midbar arba'im shana, it doesn't mean simply like they translate in English to provide our needs. That's too bland. You didn't come over here to Koilel to learn. You provide our needs in desert. If you would not have guided us. Your shoes, if you don't have shoes, you can't go anywhere. You're going to hurt yourself. You need to put on shoes in order to go, to move, to proceed. Guidance. The Mishkan was covered with the same material that we use on our feet because the Mishkan is is our guidance. This is the central GPS system is located in the Mishkan. And this is what gives us guidance to travel. If you would not have provided guidance for us in all different, not just traveling physically, the 40 years in the Midbar was the Ribbono Shel Olam was programming us to guide our destiny in history. Not just, oh, you took care of us in the desert, very nice. We went to a hotel. No, the Veloy Sibik, if you would not have Sibik, also lots of satisfaction. Sibek is also meaning dictionary, a satisfaction of providing direction and guidance, which is part of what a shoe is. A shoe is a tool which gives you the ability to move, to proceed, to travel in the desert 40 years. Dayenu. It's a whole different meaning in the dictionary of our words. Okay, let's running out of time very quickly. Let's do one more thing over here quickly. What do we got? 12:06. We got time. Let me say chasal. What does it mean, chasal? There's so many more beautiful things he has over here, but maybe we'll do more tomorrow, maybe not. But we have chasal sidur pesach. What does the word chasal mean? What kind of word is that? Mm-hmm. Chasal sidur pesach kilchas. Only appears in one place in the Torah. Only one place. Yachslenu the arbe. Yachslenu ha arbe. Anything that you don't eat.
In fact, one of the species in Arba is the chasil, which also means the finisher.
The finisher off. Yachselenu harba, this part of the toichacha. The closer. Yachselenu harba, anything that you have left over that you did not eat. Let's find here the pasuk. Let me go, okay. Yzera rav. Toitzi hasodeh umeat te'esoif. Everybody say. Zerav, a lot of seed you will plant, but unfortunately, the start of the Teichacha U'ma'ata esoif, you're only going to take a little bit back inside. Why? Ki yachselenu ho'arbe. The locust has consumed it. Rash, what does it mean? What does it mean? What does the targum? What does the targum on this pasuk say on the word yachselenu? Basically, it finished it off. It finished it off.
So why you use such a harsh word?
Also, on a very simple level, the word in the context of it means it finished. The seder is over. The seder. Oh, very good. Okay, you're going even deeper. But first, let's learn pshat. Pasha pshat. Yachselenu. You look at in this context of this pasuk, I did a lot of planting, and I'm going to take very little in because everything else was finished off by the locust. So what do we learn from this? That the word yachselenu means to finish off. Now, Rabbi Tzal asked the question. Rabbi Tzal asked the question, why would you want to have such a negative pasuk? Think about it. Is there any person...
It's common in some sort of the end of a paragraph.
Yeah, they took it from the Haggadah. they stole it. Okay. Plagiarism. They stole from that. The Baal HaGadah is the originator of a lot of these very sophisticated terms. Chasal, dictionary Chasal. Why would you want to use such a not nice, as Rabbi Tzal says? Okay, very good, very good. You found me the one pasuk in the whole Torah where the word, you see what this word means. But you know, it's not a very pleasant pasuk. It's part of the Teichacha. So there is a message here. It's so true. What is the context of the pasuk? I put so much work into this. And how much did I take away? Very little. Because the Arbeh, it finished off the rest. When you come to the Seder, tell me, did anyone ever walk away from the Seder satisfied?
It's the best show I ever went to.
Do you walk away from the Seder, you know, all the children, you know, Tati, I have here a whole encyclopedia. I didn't even get to through the Hakdama, and you shut me down because you have another 20 grandchildren and want to ask the Manishtana. You put in so much preparation. You're cleaning for weeks and weeks. You're imagining, we're going to have the Seder, it's going to be Mamish Olam Haba. What is the reality of this world? Zer Harav Toitzi HaSadeh. You put into the Seder so much effort, so much work. Ume'ate Esoif. You only take away from the Seder a tipa shebiyam. Look at Bar HaGadah. How much of the HaGadah do I get to even read? Okay, get to read a few pages. There's so much more. Zer Harav Toitzi HaSadeh. I only took away just a mashahu. You know why? Yachselenu ha'arbe. Because the locusts, they ate everything up. All of the tirdos of parnasa, of galus, of distractions, it took away our ability to really absorb the infinite amount of skedusha that we should be able to be shoyev from our God. It's like a statement. Don't walk away thinking you got it all. The Rambam, tachlis haidia sheneida, shaloneida. The goal of knowledge is to know you know nothing. The person who walks away from the Seder and says, my Seder was unbelievable.
It was great.
He's in a lot of trouble. He's in a lot of trouble. Because the way you should walk away from the Seder is, you know something? I have an appetite to do it again a lot better next year. You have to walk away from the Seder with the word chasal to remember Zera Rav Toitzi HaSodeh Ume'ate Esoif Ki Yachselenu Ha'arbe. Wow, you know something? When I walk away from the Seder, the attitude is there's so much more. So much more to learn, to study, to appreciate, to take out of the Yom Tov. Chaval, I only took ma'at to esef. If you don't walk away with that sense that I only took away ma'at and there's so much more, you're fooling yourself. And therefore, Chazal have to politely remind us what your attitude should be. Don't walk away, oh wow, no one had a Seder like me. Then you went to the wrong Seder. You have to walk away from the Seder with a frustration that next year it's going to be even better. Amen.
Pesach.
That's why we have two nights.